Blog Talk Radio.
Reality Rules. What's going on? It's
wrong intro.
Reality Rules. What's going on? It's Reality Rules. All the way back from my fiascos around the world. Reality Rules.
All right. Good evening. We're having technical difficulties.
What's going on? It's Reality Rules. All the way back from my fiascos around.
There we go. All right. Sometimes Blog Talk wants to work with us, and sometimes it doesn't. But basically, we're just trying to say, I am back, and this is Reality Rules. Andrew Gibson here coming live from Conroe, Texas, joined, as always, by my wonderfully amazing producer, Mama S. How you doing tonight, Mama S?
Really good. Glad that you're back. Our two co-special hosts were amazingly great, but it's always great to have you back.
Yeah, and we do need to get some shout-outs to them. See, Mama, as we've been gone for 3 weeks, because the week prior to that, you had your little fiasco, and then I was gone for 2 weeks. We haven't done this together in 4 weeks.
I know, and so much has happened. It was kind of boring, I will admit, but somewhere at that 3 weeks ago, tribals just seemed to hit off, and like Jeff was saying today, it's the evolution of the game, and I'm loving it.
Gosh, it's crazy. And we're going to get into all of that here in a little bit. But before we do, I do have a couple shout-outs. Yes, I was on an amazing vacation, 2 weeks gone. I came back with a suntan and walked into 45-degree weather, and I was like, take me back to the Caribbean. But I do have some thank yous and some shouts. We had some awesome co-hosts while I was gone. Travis and Cody, thank you again. I couldn't have done it without you. Y'all helped me in a lot of ways, and I really appreciate that. I also want to give two shout-outs to Brenda Mitchell and Amanda Aldridge. I was in a final five in Amanda's game and a final two in Brenda's game. They said it would end before my vacation, but it didn't. And they have actually, they held it out the whole time I was gone. And so now coming back into two kind of final situations here. So thank you to those two. And of course, Mama S, thank you to you for holding down the fort while I was gone. It was a great vacation. I was glad to be back. I had a lot of TV to catch up on, including Survivor, with many different things. And it was a beauty to come back into. So let's get right into it tonight. Let's talk Survivor. If you would like to call in and join our conversation tonight, Dan, our call-in number is 805-285-9730. As always, you can comment, call in, talk to us in chat, message me on Facebook, post on our page. Anyway, you can get in on this conversation tonight. We greatly appreciate it. We are going to talk Survivor, and then here towards the end, we were going to get straight into some Big Bro Vibe Talk here at the end. It's crazy season that's heating up there. Alex is already kind of calling me out on my face page, my wrong intro.
It happens.
That's okay. Let's get into some Survivor as here we go. Okay, so I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about last week's Tribal Council. Because it was just an amazing Tribal Council, and I think it really sets up for what happens in tonight's episode. And Cody and Travis recapped it very, very well last week, but I just want to touch on it a little bit here. You have this, I mean, on the bottom pair of three people, and Abby, Sierra, and Kelly Wentworth know that they're on the bottom. They know they're out coming into this Tribal Council. They know that one of them is about to leave the game tonight. Here's what I love. I mean, kudos 150% to Kelly Wentworth. She played this idol perfectly. Nobody knew about it. Her own alliance didn't know about it. In Tribal Council, for the vote, she's saying she's on the bottom. She's saying she's going home. Everybody buys it, believes it, hook, line, and sinker. They don't even talk about splitting the votes. Like, I don't understand how the splitting the vote never came up in this situation. And Wentworth just pulls that idol out gracefully, pees the idol, and takes down Andrew Savage, who I strongly feel, if he does not go that round, makes a run and probably makes the finale.
Oh, yeah,
so Wentworth
for sure.
beautifully pulls that off and pulls that off into a blindside, which leads us directly into where we are in today's episode. And it starts with an idol hunt. People see Wentworth. It's like for 21 days. Is that where they're at in this point? 20-something days. It's kind of like everybody just forgot about the hidden immunity idol. Like, it's like it wasn't even in play. It's like, oh, yeah, there's immunity idols in this game. And finally, one gets played, and the tribe just wakes up. And you come into this episode with everybody frantically searching for a hidden immunity idol. You got Fishback going crazy. You've got Jeremy going crazy. You got Joe going crazy. Here's what I find funny. See all the people that are in this majority alliance looking for an idol, but you have the three people who are on the bottom just chilling on the beach. Like, they're not looking. The three people that probably need the idol the most aren't searching the idol at all. And that was just humorous to me in that point. I mean, you have all these people searching, and the three people who are on the bottom are the three that are just kind of chilling. And they're like, yeah, whatever. And then we have Abby, Sierra, and Kelly, who are nicknamed at this point in time, the Coven Witches. Shout out Big Brother Coven, first of all. We got to give the shout out there, Big Brother Coven. But we have the Coven Witches because they're always brewing up trouble and brewing up a storm. I think Kimmy was the first person to actually name them the Coven. And then it kind of took off, and Fishback goes into a long spiel about their brewing up trouble and how he wants to be the one to brew things up and to struggle in with that. And he wants to brew his own spell. We got a caller coming in, so let's bring him on. You're live with Really Rules. Who am I talking to? Hello? Hello? All right, I think we lost him there. Sorry about that. If you want to try back, give us a call back. And then we go straight into this reward challenge. They go into this reward challenge. It's this long, complicated challenge where they get to build their own puzzle ladder, go through a maze, take a key to the wire, and then put together a puzzle. And they're separated on two teams. And one team is Jeremy Wigglesworth, Wentworth, and Pasha. The other team was Keith, Sierra, Kimmy, Joe, and then Abby didn't get picked in the round robin, and she was just kind of sitting on the sidelines watching and chilling and didn't have a chance for a reward. I didn't get that. I kept waiting for this moment where they were like, oh, Abby, of course you didn't play, so we're going to send you on reward. It was kind of – I don't think it didn't like how they – like, oh, you didn't make the pick for the team, so you're just kind of out of the competition and don't have a shot. I don't think that was very fair. But I'm not Jeff Probst and Mark Brett, so kind of how it went down. And we see just a slobber knocker. I don't think I've ever seen such of a big blowout in a Survivor competition. Can you remember one, Susan?
No. I mean, really, like Jeff said, that's got to be the first time it was that far behind. And it's not like they had a bad tribe. Like, I was really disappointed in how far back they've fallen.
You know, but when I looked at the two-tribe separation, I kind of expected the other tribe to win. I didn't expect it to be that big. But, I mean, they didn't even get off of the first step of the game until the other team was already to the puzzle. And I think there was some editing things there. I think they were actually more ahead than they made it even look. But I think they kind of edited it in to make it look like it was a little bit of a race. And so that brings you to that point in the game. They win the reward. They're going on to the Survivor Spa, which included showers and food and massages and just a really good relaxation. I always think that sometimes the reward just as bad as they are good, because after your body gets that kind of big of a feast and then you kind of serve it again, it's almost like a tease. So I sometimes think that rewards can be counterproductive in that aspect. But I do like the reward aspect of, okay, now we're in a private situation with these five people, and we can start to talk game. We can start to really kind of break things down, and we can start to do that. Before we get into that breakdown, what happened at the reward, let's go to commercial. We've played this commercial several times. Applications are now open for this game. We'll talk about it after this break. A new game coming to Facebook is Blackout. It is a third-person competition-based alias game. It is ran by none other than Jason Voorhees himself and has many famous killers and survivors trying to kill and or survive once again. Your goal is to be on top or get your lights snuffed out, because if you aren't, you're blacked out. For more information, see Wade on Facebook at Wade James Lee. See Wade on Facebook for more information on the upcoming game Blackout, a horror mix, sure to keep your lights on. That is the Blackout game. Applications are now open. Message Wade James Lee on Facebook for information on that. That is Blackout. So they get into this talk here, and they're all kind of chilling. It's like, okay, let me try to make a move here. What else do I have to lose? Let me open my mouth and just talk about this hierarchy that still exists. I don't see this hierarchy as much as everybody's saying exists. It's this big mega alliance of eight, but I don't see this, once that eight happens, a real breakdown of, okay, now we go five, now we go three, now we go two, now we go one. I see an alliance, but I don't know, saying it's Jeremy and Fishback and Joe and Tasha, but I think Tasha's got ties with Kimmy. I think Kimmy has ties with Fishback. I just don't see this whole hierarchy. I do see a big majority alliance and a small minority alliance, but I don't necessarily see this pecking order in existence here. I think that's kind of the paranoia of Fishback and some other people that are kind of making a hierarchy that doesn't exist. But they start to talk about this, and Sierra immediately says that Jeremy is the one calling the shots. Jeremy is the big boy on campus. Jeremy is the one we need to start looking at. Jeremy is the one we need to take over. This is why I don't see the Fishback Jeremy final two, because the minute Sierra says that, Tasha's face lights up. And she's like, are we sure it's Jeremy? I think it's Wigglesworth. What about Wigglesworth? And Tasha deflects for Jeremy. She starts taking the pressure off of Jeremy and beginning to put it on Wigglesworth. And just totally, I think, flips the spectrum. And I think Tasha saves Jeremy in that situation. And then, of course, you have Keith on the rickshaw, or the, what did he call it? The Tuku, whatever, driving around saying he retires. That was hilarious. Good laugh moment on tonight's episode. But while all these people are in reward, we go back to camp and we see Jeremy begin to hunt for the idol again. He says, what's one thing better than one idol? That's two idols. And he starts to look for the clue. And lo and behold, Jeremy finds the second idol. Jeremy finds the clue to the second idol. And this time it's not hidden in a challenge. It's actually hidden on their beach. It's hidden on their camp. At night, he has to sneak away, look for a light, to the light, and there will be the idol. And Jeremy successfully does that, and he is now holding and possessing two idols. My wife immediately says, when he grabs that second idol, man, this guy should win the game now. Two idols means win, right? What are your thoughts on two idols? Is this an asset? Is this a liability? Is this a good thing? What do you think, Susan?
I think the fact that he hasn't told anybody makes it a good thing. I mean, because the moment somebody finds out that he not only has one but has two, he's done. They're not going to talk to him. They're going to blindside him completely because he has two. I think if he just keeps his mouth shut about it, I think it will bring him very far.
And I agree. I think the paranoia sets in at that point, and he would be forced to play one maybe prematurely. Here's my thing. I was just in a Survivor game 2 months ago, and I had an idol and a power, right? I had one idol and I had one power. The power is the same power that Fishback won, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. And here's the thing about the hidden immunity idols. They're only good until what, final five, final six? It depends on the game.
Yeah, usually some of them are merged, some of them are six, some of them the Tyler Perry ones, so you never know.
But they're never good till like final four or final three. Eventually, you have to play outside of the idol. And the fact that you have two idols gives you the opportunity to make two massive moves, right? And so at some point in time, you're going to have to come out and say, look, I have this idol, I'm going to play it. And then at some point in time, you're going to have to come out again and say, hey, look, I have this idol, I'm going to play it. And once you do that, And once you make those two massive moves, you run into a spot where you have 2 to 3 rounds left in this game and you're unprotected. You just built this crazy resume that's going to take you to the end if you win in the final two, and you've almost screwed yourself. So, I mean, in Jeremy's position, if he starts to play the idols just to play the idols, I think that could hurt him in a final five, final four situation. I think that if he has the idols and he only plays them if necessary, let's say he plays one but he never plays the other, and then he pulls it out at Final Tribal Council and he's like, hey guys, look, this is an idol I never played because I didn't have to. I think that's a better game move than just playing these idols, because once you're unprotected by the idols is when I start to get scared.
Yeah, that's true. You've got a really good point there.
In the game I was in, I had the power. I played it at 6. I played the idol at 5. And I went at 4 because, I mean, that's just how the cookie crumbled at that point, and it really didn't help me in this. So we get back to the tribe. We get back to the camp. Fishback's paranoia is back at it again. He starts to spread the word of Wigglesworth needs to be the one to go. And then Fishback approaches the coven and specifically says in the coven, hey, look, I want to work with y'all. I think Wigglesworth needs to be the target. And, of course, Wentworth, Sierra, and Abby are like, all right, let's do it. Game on. And then we go into this immunity challenge. Lots of things we need to talk about in this immunity challenge here. First off, it's another endurance competition. That makes 3 endurance competitions in a row for immunity. A little surprising on that. I thought they would kind of break it up a little bit. But, no, we have 3 straight endurance.
I mean, has that ever happened before? Like, the last two were balancing – I mean, I don't ever recall it being so back-to-back. Like, when they did the ball
either.
Balancing, I kind of felt like, they know which the two are good at this. So, for me, that's just how I felt.
I do, too. And I want to see some more. I want to see a logic. I want to see a skill. I want to see some different immunity challenges. I don't ever remember a time where they do 3 endurance competitions in a row. I also don't ever remember a time, Susan, where they do so many endurance competitions in a row so early. They normally move those endurance comps to, like, Final 7, Final 6, Final 5. And then, of course, Final 3 is endurance. I don't get it. I don't know why they're doing it that way. But we do. We have another endurance competition. And you know what else I'm noticing? A lot of these redemptions, I feel like, of the last 8 competitions, over half of them have been from Brain, Bronze, and Beauty.
Yes, they have. And they keep mentioning it, too.
A big majority of them have been from that specific game. So I don't know what the reasoning is there. I don't know what the chances are there. But they're on these pyramids. They have to balance on them and walking up them after time travels and then eventually going to one leg. And then about halfway through the first round, Jeff Probst comes out and says, if you jump off this competition, quit the immunity challenge, and swim towards the buoy, the first person to touch the buoy will receive an advantage in this game. Before we talk about who did what, let's just stop right here and talk about this advantage in this game. Is this a good thing? Yes, an advantage can obviously help you. Yes, an advantage can obviously do something for you. But my question is, this is not a hidden immunity idol because it's not hidden. This is not a hidden power because it's not hidden. You are vocally in front of everybody saying, okay, I want a power, I'm going to hold a power, and everybody's going to know that I hold a power. Is that a good move? I mean, in most instances, that's who I'm targeting next because they have something that could hurt me in the long run of this game. I don't want them here. He says
but
that.
But it can also be an advantage. It could be something that you may not want to vote for him because he can use it. It could be, I mean, it could work for your advantage. I think,
absolutely.
Well, I have this power, this and this. It might scare people. I mean, I do that in games. I'm like, I have this power, ha, ha, ha. And I'll flaunt it, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
But will Fishback do that, is the question. You know, I mean, he doesn't really flaunt, okay, I have a power, I don't know what it is. I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I see what you're saying there, though. You could say, oh, okay, use it as like a threatening tool in that and try to strong arm. I don't see Fishback doing that because he's not really the strong arm kind of person. But immediately him and Spencer jump off. They race for it. Fishback is the first one to touch it, and he gets this power. We'll talk about the power as we progress into it. And then we go into this competition a little further. And the first transition really mixes a lot of people up. A lot of people fall. We get down to a Joe Wigglesworth and Abby, final three in this competition. Kelly Wigglesworth can't get her foot up in time. And it's Joe versus Abby. And Abby falls, and Joe wins his third individual immunity in a row. Susan, is there any way in this game that the first time Joe loses, he's not voted out?
No. No, the first time he loses, he's voted out. Him winning three immunities in a row and Abby at camp, he's going to win everything. He's going to win everything. That's the most hurtful thing you could do. It's just like when we're playing orgs, and I experienced it today. Somebody got voted out, and right away, oh, congratulations to this person because they're going to win the whole game. Like, you know, you're not saying that to mean it. You're saying it in a bitterness place to hope that somebody says, oh, hey, wait a minute. Yes, he is winning everything. He is going to win.
Right, and Joe should know that, because this is exactly what Joe's gone through. Joe's known as a challenge threat. He's known as a competition whore, but yet he continues to win, and he continues to push the button on it, and I think that in the end that's going to be his downfall. I think that if he won the first, laid off the second, laid off the third, and then tried to win another around four or five, he'd have a little bit better of an argument. But him winning three in a row, the first time Joe loses, he's a goner. I mean, there's just no way around it. So Joe wins again. We go back to tribal, or we go back to the beach. And when we're at the beach, they immediately start to put the word out there for Wigglesworth. And Stephen Fishback, who has gone to Jeremy 17,000 times in this game trying to sway a vote, goes to Jeremy and says, let's target Wigglesworth. Jeremy weighs the option. Spencer weighs the option. And we go to tribal. And, of course, it is pouring down rain. Before that, Steven reveals his power, and it is a steal a vote power. What do you think about that power? How big of an impact could that help in this game?
Oh, that could help majorly, especially if it's you that might be going. Although it doesn't help when there's a large group. It's better using it, hopefully being able to use it, saving it at that 6 point.
That's what I was just about to say. This is a power that gets stronger the longer it's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a power that becomes more powerful and becomes more strong and becomes more effective the further it is in the game. Right now, I mean, it doesn't have a good. What this power comes into hand with is once your alliance crumbles and you're at a 3-3 split. That's when you need this power. So the aspect of Fishback has a very strong, very powerful thing now in this game. The question is, will Fishback use it at the right time, or will he not use it at the right time? Will this help him, or will this hurt him? Know-it-alls must be over, because Jaden is hashtagging in at King Fish there. King Fish. Jaden's only saying that because he watches know-it-alls, and Fishback is a know-it-all. And I'm just going to make fun of Jaden, because Jaden's watched know-it-alls before he watched Reality Rules. So Jaden, King Fish will be caught at some point. I don't see a scenario where Fishback wins this game. I'm sorry. I might be wrong. I hope I am. I'm still right now Team Wentworth. She's just rocking it. So we go to tribal. The talk's all over the place. The votes come out. They effectively try to split the votes. The power isn't just powerful for an even split such as 3-3. It also works for an uneven split such as a 4-3. Yeah, it does. But again, you're talking final six, final seven. You're talking longer term in the game for that to happen. It can take a majority and turn it into a minority very, very quickly. It's got to be a close vote, and it's better the further along it goes. The votes come out, and it is Wigglesworth evicted, voted out, whatever, by the three girls, Fishback, Jeremy, and Spencer. And then the others were still split. Joe and Keith voted Wentworth, and Tasha, Kimmy, and someone voted Sierra. So Wigglesworth went. Sad. I was very sad to see Wigglesworth go. If it had to be a Kelly, I wanted it to be Wigglesworth. because I think Wentworth's just playing an incredible game. Here's what I want to talk about just for a second here. They worked Kelly Wigglesworth up to be this huge threat. I mean, Tasha turns it around and says Wigglesworth is this social mastermind here, and she's good with everybody, and she's nice with everybody, and if she goes to the end, she'll win this game because of the relationships she has. I agree, to an extent. Wigglesworth, yes, nobody hated Wigglesworth. Everybody liked who Wigglesworth was. Was she a social threat? Yes. Was she a strategic threat? Not really. You have to realize Wigglesworth was in the minority of almost every single vote thus far. Wigglesworth had been on the bottom and on the outs of every single vote. She had not been in a lot of alliance talk. She did not start any alliance talk. So Wigglesworth isn't much of a social threat in this game. A physical threat? Not really. Wigglesworth, again, has not excelled in any competitions. And when you have a Joe, when you have a Jeremy, when you have a Spencer, who I think could even beat her, when you have a Sierra and a Wentworth, Wigglesworth isn't what she was in Borneo today. So my question, and Susan's going to pop up a poll here, is was Wigglesworth as big of a long-term threat as people said she was? Yes, I agree. Wigglesworth in the final two against just about anybody, Wigglesworth wins. But was Wigglesworth really a threat to make the final two? I don't think so. Jeremy, much bigger threat.
Most people are saying no on the poll.
Are they? Yeah. I mean, if you turn this around, Jeremy is a huge threat. Spencer is a huge threat in this game. Wentworth, Sierra. I just don't see and don't get to the aspect of how people were saying Wigglesworth was this huge threat and was this huge danger in this game. Yeah, it looks like it's 4-1 right now. Most people are saying that Wigglesworth really wasn't that big of a threat. Calvin said, I don't feel she was after what she was saying. I don't fit into this new type of play. It was showing she was out of the loop and that she was quiet and lost, but that's just my opinion. I agree completely. I don't think Wigglesworth was in this position. I think this was a wasted power move. The only people this move really benefited was Sierra, Kelly, and Abby, because it fought them in another week. It just kind of threw them into the mix some more, because again, as those numbers dwindle, those three are going to really have more and more of a shot, especially if Fishback is going to commit to the coven and become the one wizard among the witches. All right, we're going to go to a quick commercial here, and then when we come back, we're going to start a new segment that we will do every week called Tree Mail. So stay tuned for Tree Mail, but before we get into that, let's do a commercial from Survivor Real Foot. I can find it. Survivor Real Foot is now casting for Season 3. This is a Survivor-style game held in Northwest Tennessee over a 7-day period. Survivor Real Foot provides the closest Survivor experience that you will find. From the outdoor location, limited food rations, to original challenges, confessionals, and custom-made bumps. This season will be filmed and edited like the real show for a YouTube release. Filming dates for Season 3 are June 5th through the 11th. You can find your application on our website, SurvivorRealFoot.Weebly.com. We encourage all types of applicants, including those with limited outdoor experience and even Survivor knowledge. You can find our fan page on Facebook at Survivor Real Foot and watch past episodes on our website or our YouTube channel. Be sure to catch the premiere of the first half of Season 2 coming in January. Survivor Real Foot. You can find them on SurvivorRealFoot.Weebly.com or look up Amos Ray Smith on Facebook. Survivor Real Foot, casting Season 3 now. Survivor Real Foot, if you want more information on that, contact Amos Ray Smith. One more game we want to plug real quick. A game hosted by our very own Mama S and Cody James, our co-host from last week. They're wrapping up their Big Brother, what was that called? Big Brother Bowl. Touchdown? Big Brother Bowl. The football-themed game. You have a Patrick Scarola and Daniel Lussier final right now. And they are now casting, or will applications will be up tomorrow, for Big Brother Detective. This season of Big Brother, you're in for a wild ride of who done it, where, and with what. Hosted by Cody and Mama S. If you want more information, message Mama S. Applications will go up tomorrow. So tune in for that. I will be applying, so hopefully you will too. And let's get this game going. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be exciting. Big Brother Detective, hosted by Mama S and Cody James. All right, we're going to start a new segment tonight. If my intro music is there we go. It's time for Tree Mail. That's right, it's the time of the show where I answer your questions. We've got it's questions really from the past 2 weeks coming at you live tonight. If you have questions for next week's episode, make sure you send them to Susan Samosa on Facebook. Let's get into it tonight. Tree Mail. And there it is. I'll work on re-getting that for next week. I'm still playing catch-up, so I kind of rushed that one. But basically, each week we're going to have a new segment called Tree Mail. Questions that you have pushed to us from any time, we will read them and answer them relating Survivor. Any questions you have and you would like to be asked or answered next week or the week after, you can message Mama S, Susan Camosa, on Facebook, and she will put them in our production page, and we will get to them at Tree Mail today. I've got 4 or 5 questions here that we're going to kind of look at and talk to, and then we'll get into a little bit of talk in the org world. But first, let's get into tonight's Tree Mail questions. The first one I have is, it says, the last 2 shows have been big on the whole alliance, truth, clean versus lying and backstabbing. Can you be 100% loyal in the game of Survivor? You know, can you be? Yes. Is it going to be successful? Probably 0.0001% chance at the time. It's going to be hard to go through this whole game and never tell a lie. I think at some point you're going to have to tell a lie. And that's just because of, even in the very beginning, so many alliance talks are going on. And if you're going to join one or more alliance, you're automatically in a lie. If you're in an alliance of Final 5, a Final 4, everybody in that Final 4 thinking it's you and them in the end. I don't see a successful way to really do it. But then again, you go to the point of, I mean, let's go back to Big Brother 2 with Will. Will says from day one, I'm going to lie. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to steal. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to win this game. Is that a successful thing? Is that really a lie? And I just don't know the answer to that. To me, you have to do it. I think it's better to come out from the beginning and say, hey, I'm going to do it. But then again, does that hurt your game? Does that help your game? I don't know. But no, to answer your question, I don't think you can be 100% loyal to one person. Even if you do have a final two and that's your ride or die, at some point you're going to be making moves behind the scenes that they don't know about, even if it is to benefit both of you. The next question is, if you're there for your own game, how can you be 100% loyal? Again, that goes back to I don't really think you can. The next 2 questions are questions that were asked last week, but I'm going to give my opinion on them also. Which survivor is getting the best out of their second chance, and which survivor is getting the least out of their second chance is my question. I would have to say that the best second chance right now, I'm not even going to take this as a how they stand in the gameplay situation, because I think you could receive and do a better second chance by overcoming mistakes you made from the beginning and still not win this game. But I have to say it's Spencer right now. And the reason is he didn't at first. I think Spencer played his old way and was going in the wrong
direction. I would totally agree with you. I've been saying that the past 3 weeks. Spencer has grown on me. I think he's matured as a player, as a person. I mean, I'm loving him. He's my favorite for the season.
And see, I agree. And he wasn't at first. He was falling down that same path. But I think that he saw that, he caught it, and he changed. And that's really what a second chance is. Do I see Spencer winning this game? No. Could he? Sure, but I don't see it. And but I think that right now he has the best at redoing his second chance. The second is, who is the least at their second chance? I think this is obvious. Abby Maria is doing the same exact thing that she did in the first game. All she is a vote. All she is a pawn. She's still just doing the same mistake she made, and I think that she is not doing a second chance at all. by that. Next question that we have here on Survivor Tree Mail is, do you think the three girls are being targeted because they're strong or because they're girls? Neither. I just think they were in the wrong part of a shuffle. I don't think that they were in this strong tribe. You can't say that there's a girls-guys division because you have Kimmy and you have Tasha over on the other side. I think Whitworth, Sierra, and Abby just kind of happened to get mixed up in the shuffle, and they just happened to be girls. I don't see a guy-girl division in this game because I still think that right now who's playing the best game overall is Tasha. I think Tasha is reminding me of Sandra, the two-time winner Sandra. She's playing a very, very, very similar game. She's making moves behind the scenes. Nobody knows she's making the moves at the time that she's making them, and she's just deflecting a lot of things. I think Tasha's playing the best game. So I don't see a guy-girl division game so far. So I don't think it's because they're strong or because they're girls. I just think it's because it's just how the cookie crumbled. Now, Whitworth today was targeted because she's strong because of the move she made last week. They keep talking about they're building this resume, and that, I think, it would have hurt Kelly today if Fishback didn't have her back. But as far as why they're being targeted, I just think they were at the wrong end of a deal. So that's it. Those are our questions for today. If you have questions for next week's Tree Mail, message Susan Camosa on Facebook, and she would love to send them to me. And we'll get that going. So that is our Survivor recap for today. Let us know what you think next week. Even though next Thursday is Thanksgiving, we will still be doing a Survivor recap episode on it. So get your turkeys in the oven. Come talk to us. And that is it. But don't go nowhere. We are going to get into a little bit of org talk tonight. And we are going to be talking Big Brovival 3. That is right. Big Brovival 3. That is blood versus water. Straight from the horse's mouth, we have our own Mama S, who actually played in this game. Alex, of course, has been a good listener to our show, and we'll be talking about that here in just a while. So we'll be right back. Introducing a new Big Brother game with some old challenges mixed in with a few new ones. Big Brother Scream will take you on a journey through horror movies and television trivia, along with some twists and turns that could turn this killer house upside down. Hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen. 16 of you will enter, and by the time this thing is all over, only one of you will be leaving this house alive. Crown the winner of Big Brother Scream. Brought to you by Ryan Barker and Will. Any questions, message Ryan Barker on Facebook at Ryan Barker. Big Brother Scream. 16 go in, only one comes out alive. All right, so let's get into some org talk here. We have Big Brovival 3 that started while I was on vacation. Unfortunately, I couldn't play in the season. Couldn't even apply because I wasn't going to be here when it started. But I love the Big Brovival series. It's one of my favorites on Facebook. It's one of my favorites on Skype. It's one of my favorite games. The winner, number one, Brian Akers, shout out. Love that kid. It's just a good game and a good series. And we had an excellent cast picked for this from characters such as Austin Scarborough, Lilia, Paul Hill, Jaden, Emily, Naomi, Susan, so many different characters that when I saw this cast release,
Ruben,
it was just like,
Julian, Trey, all equally great players too.
Oh, Trey. How could I forget Trey?
Forget him.
I forget him because in my mind I want to forget him, but you can't. It's all around just a awesome cast, and they say from the very beginning this is going to be blood versus water, and it's going to be played in pairs. You had to find a pair. You had to ply in a pair, and you had to go. And you were partnered with Jalen, correct?
Yes, Jalen Roach and I were partners. When you applied, they asked you if you were more outgoing and made decisions rationally or unrationally. They separated you into two colors. Jalen was red because he's irrational and doesn't think. I was more blue. And it turns out it's true with him. They offered him an envelope and said it would hurt his new partner because we got new partners. And instead of thinking it over, he said yes right away. And that was the twist. The person who said yes to screw their partner the fastest would be leaving first.
And so the fact that you were just so unagainst everybody, it was what took you out, ultimately. Those twists are kind of crazy. I always hate that somebody gets evicted based on a twist, because that just sucks. That you never want to go out that way. But that's the thing with Big Bro Vival. Big Bro Vival is a twisted game. There are twists weekly, almost, in this game. Different ways of being evicted. You're playing Big Brother, but Big Bro Vival is almost its own odd format that nobody really knows what's going on and what's going to happen.
I had fun my short three rounds there. I mean, everybody was great. Alex is a great host. The cast, excluding one, was pretty awesome. But I have no complaints at all. It was a great time.
Were there any things from other games that carried over into this game? I'm hearing lots of things that there was lots of backlash and just pre-tension that really had an impact on Big Bro Vival 3 so far.
No, I think his comps are, your basic comps with your own twist to going with your theory or theme of your game.
In the beginning, coming into this game, there were people that just didn't like each other from other games, and did that play an impact so far?
You know what? It wasn't that the people didn't like each other. Going into Bro Vival 3, most of the cast came from Austin's game, Big Brother Coven, and obviously there was a big 8-person alliance. Julian was given a chance to break it up, but he didn't, and unfortunately, Lilia went, I went, Naomi went. I mean, what can you do? And they've been kicking ass so far. I mean, look who's left. All of the Coven people.
Well, yeah, because, Lilia's gone. Paul's gone. You were in Coven, though, and you're not there anymore.
Yeah, I got booted out of Coven pretty early, too. Maybe I should stop playing games with those particular 8 people, huh?
Yeah, I don't think you're very high up in that. I want to talk specifically, I loved the veto competition this weekend, Big Bro Vival. It was a slider puzzle, but it was not your actual slider puzzle. Everybody was competing in the same slider puzzle. You had 1, 2, or 3 moves to try to complete the slider puzzle. And whoever was the person that actually completed it or who got to the 750th move first was the winner of this competition. And we'll just say nobody completed the puzzle because you had people – Austin and many different people who were just like trolling, and it might have been strategy. I think it was to an aspect. I'm not going to blow or talk about it, but they were just doing the puzzle completely wrong because they wanted it to come down the moves. Congratulations, Austin, for winning that veto. It's really, really an interesting game so far. And knowing Alex, the best is still yet to come. So keep tuning in to Big Bro Vival 3. You can like them on their Big Bro Vival page on Facebook. Alex will post all the time challenges and comps that you can watch live as they're being carried out. He's really good at, once somebody's evicted, posting up and keeping the viewers informed on that. And then, of course, you'll want to look out for Big Bro Vival 4 and apply for that because it's a great series. It's probably one of the best, I think, in Skype right now. And hopefully one day, Mama S, there will be a big Second Chances.
I'm done with Second Chances, too. I got voted out of Brandon's Second Chances. I got voted out of 3 games in 2 days. So
I go out of the country and you just start getting loses and losses and everything.
I know. You must be my luck charm. No more leaving the country when I'm in good games.
Oh, okay. So I have to plan my vacation schedule around Mama S's org schedule.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. That's all we have. I want to give one more service announcement as we go out today. Guys, again, remember, this is a community and we are all friends. We are all family. We do love each other. Drama happens. Let it go. I'm tired of looking in all about orgs and rants and raves and all these different people and just seeing all this drama that gets carried into real life. At the end of the day, this is a fun, it's an outlet for us. And the moment it stops becoming fun, it's not worth it anymore. So play hard, play to win. But again, at the end of the day, remember, we're all human beings and we're just here to have a good time. So that's kind of my PSA as we go out of this today. We will see you next week. And as we're getting closer to the holidays, I know a lot of us will have some more free time as school and stuff comes out. We'll try to get some more mini-minis and mini things coming our way. But check us out, Reality Rules. Again, thank you very much. Stay real, stay reality, and try not to get voted out.
This really shouldn't work at all, but it does. I'm back and forth with life.